Side militarized, wide out Pericles. Pericles and militarized fighting it out for the moment. Nugget bursting through, and here he is, Celestial Legend, bombing them wide out. Celestial Legend won the Doncaster.
Welcome to Bet Doctor, behind the curtain, look at how pro punters operate. I'm your host, Scoot. I've got Johnny Walter in studio, the virus, the super spreader.
3 weeks. I don't know whether you gave it to me. You say I gave it to you. I reckon you gave it to me.
I don't leave the house. You see
Neither
me.
Neither do I. Where I do get I sick. Go?
Don't know.
Literally nowhere.
It's filthy wherever you go. DK, winter struck down in Melbourne. How are you, brother?
Yeah, we are. Certainly has scooped into 17s, 18s every day back down here now, which is only in the run-up to, Warrnambool. So it's probably the right weather. Mm. Oh, no, another quiet week, wasn't it? Tall poppy syndrome was well out in force at the yearling sales, and then the certain participants whinging as usual in the racing, Saturday night racing. But just another week. Nico, how are you, buddy? How's the footy going?
I'm good. We got beat by 10 goals, so we can only improve off what we did last Saturday, I think. So, no, it's all good here at the moment. It's just, it was pouring rain as we were coming in, so had to sort of try and dodge that as we made the way in. But, yeah, good racing from Bendigo on Saturday, obviously the championships. It was a big week in racing, wasn't it? Saturday morning, I thought, how are they going to run this meeting? And then the track, the times have come out like it was just a soft track, not even a heavy track. So, yeah, amazing stuff up there in Sydney.
But it is compared to what happened. How many would they get, 24 mils or something overnight Saturday night at Sale, and it was a soft five and they called them off. They got 200 mils and upgraded to what, a soft seven or something. Just extraordinary how those Flemington and Randwick and those tracks drain in 2024.
Crazy. I had probably threes on looking at the forecast that it'd be off, and then
especially when Moody sending those videos out,
and funny. Then they weren't allowed to get the gallop horses on the track.
They wouldn't Weird. Gallop a horse on it. They wouldn't release a penetrometer an hour after the scratchings closed, which is highly unusual. They wouldn't let a horse gallop on for like 2 hours after it. So they obviously had huge queries over whether it would go ahead. They were sort of just saying trust us, which is, you know, I think everyone's justified in having trust issues there.
Mm.
And then they race one, and you think it's a six. It's like, what? Do you give them praise for racing, or do you say, well, how come it's a six often there when you've had no rain for the week?
Mm.
Anyway,
hard to figure out.
It was great.
I think we've settled it for once and for all. We don't need any more further proof that greys are dominant in the wet. Chain of Lightning for Walt, DK's theory, Celestial Legend. They're both grey, DK. You've Unreal. Been saying it for a long time, and there's been some data experts, good friend Dano, blankets a theory. There is fast and slow grey horses, but the fast ones get faster, and it was they got the lot.
And apparently we've all suffered from confirmation bias after what happened on the weekend. Confirmation bias because, you know, they won when the data says that there's no advantage. I mean, Robbie Waterhouse put out that article a couple of years ago. I don't even remember. Where he'd said about the greys with the softer feet and that they appreciate getting their toes in the ground, just something to do with the breed and that. I think he'd know because Gay, he's married to one of the top trainers in the country. So, and if it was easy as data about everything, then Dan Arnold would be building villages in Fiji and he'd be retired and, you know, stuff like that. So it's not easy as data. I mean, he went and debunked the mares in four mares. He went and found a way to debunk that as well. You know, data's open to interpretation. But no, the greys, as soon as he potted them in the morning, there it was. I mean, you go and open your – we know you pot anything, you say anything like that, you open yourself up. Home goes $26 in the big race, followed by Celestial Legend, which is – I never took my eyes off it. It was some ride through where angels fear to tread up the straight there by Tyler Steeler, my God. So, no, well, one for the greys, and there was plenty of people out in support of the greys on the weekend.
A smart person once said to me, he said, like, in regards to data people, he said, you know, normally they say, oh, four of their last six – you know, say Souths are four of their last six against the Eastern Suburbs or whatever, it's usually four out of seven, eight, nine, ten. You know, like they just condition it into four out of their last six to suit their narrative. So the data is very easily manipulated.
Mm. Did like Tyler Schiller, I'd rather choke on greatness than nibble on mediocrity. I thought that was an absolute pearler from Schiller the Thriller, and he's a big KFC man, so he's back squarely in the team now. Schiller.
49 kilos.
Crazy.
That's exactly like TC. I don't know how many times he sent me photos of himself in the KFC drive-thru on the way home from a race meeting after he's had to ride light or something. It's obviously the go-to cheat meal for a lot of these fellas because they're on the road too, right? So good on them.
Much talk about Winx and the $10 million sale. Poor, just goes to show, don't need extra prize money. I think they're all going okay. I did hear that John Massara said it's tough to make a dollar on the Wolf Den little interview with him, but if they're throwing around that money when everyone else is struggling to make ends meet, I'm tipping we don't need more money in prize money, and I think they're going all right. So the breeders just need to sort of pull back a bit because it's never been harder at the moment for punters.
What about Scooby-Doo Jimmy Stewart or whatever his name was? Is he Johnny Stewart, Jimmy Stewart, the Yank the Tank with his tweet that set the world amongst
Who wants a horse?
Oh, my God. You just wanted someone. I was hoping it was Bjorn or someone who'd say, mate, I hate Yanks, jam them up your ass. I just wanted one person to come out and say, you know, and they all just went to bend a knee and got the warm milk out and went lapping it up, wasn't it? It was, oh, it is what it is. You read his tweet. He didn't even structure it like that. He was asking you and I who we would send it to.
And then the all of a sudden the trainers come grovelling with the knee pads on.
And yeah, like, mate, surely, Kieran Ma, do you, come on, mate. You got 700, 800 horses. Do you need his six as well? Like, God
probably
damn.
To get it. Probably to get a slipper on. He does.
Well, he needs a lot more than 600 to get a slipper on. He's already proved that, hasn't he? But at least he had Spywire, the 800-meter horse that'll win a Ipswich Class One next prep. Good luck to it.
I was happy for you, Walt, because I thought, oh well, beauty. The Winx horse is going to stay because you're often, you know, so upset that all the Japanese and all the foreigners are buying the horse. So the happiest man in town would be John Walter because the breed's stronger in Australia now.
Well, Japanese aren't known for being imbeciles either. So why would you pay $10 million for a foal that didn't look anything special to me? And I've not looked the greatest eye in the world. But if they wanted it, they'd buy Winx. You know, they wouldn't buy the offshoot. They'd go straight to the source, which they've proven to do, you know. So, yeah, like they did with Yankee Rose, right? They just took Yankee Rose back home and turned her into a super mare.
I think she was already a super mare in Australia, but good to see the breeders are going well.
Well, that's not the problem. You've got to understand. I mean, people potting. I mean, the tall poppy syndrome was just sky high there, and it was just ridiculous. I mean, that Easter yearling sale, that is for that top end, high end of the market. It's for very wealthy people who play at that end of the market. Now, I used to be the one saying, you know, look at these people throwing their money around like that. But when you get to see these people, you know some people, they've got hundreds of millions of dollars and they choose to spend it on horse racing and that's where they want to buy it. They could spend it on other things, on bloody Formula One cars or doing other stuff like the crypto guys, but they choose to spend it on horse racing. And I can't understand at all. There's levels of yearling sales, there's levels of syndication. If you want to buy 1% of a horse, you can. But for the jealousy towards the people who've got plenty of money and who choose to spend it on horse racing and at that top end of the market, I just thought it was, especially with Deb, I mean, you know, the story was just fantastic of her buying that horse back and keeping it and for her family. And, you know, she can't help who her dad was and all the money their family got, and she chooses to spend it as she wants to spend it. She wants to buy the filly. So good luck to her.
I agree completely.
It's all the crap that's attached to it, though. So there's 100 million in sales. There's probably 50 of it that's not real. That's the problem.
That's one thing you learn from the start, isn't it, Walt? It is, reeling sales. It's all that sort of stuff. But it's nothing. What's that, Jimmy? What happened with Jimmy and all that? That was all crap, you know? But when Bill Vlahos
got
bitted up by a Sangster or something, you know, that was all, we all knew that was a circus. But I thought the real emotion and the story and, you know, that she did decide to sell it, then she couldn't because she's so attached and she's got the money to be able to do it. And, you know, that's good on her. I thought it was terrific.
I think good luck to her too.
Absolutely, good luck to her.
If that's what she wanted to do, bang, she's just blasting all out of the water.
It's like you or I spending $100 on a meal, probably. But good luck.
That's exactly right, Walt. Exactly right. Until you meet, like, I'm not big noting or anything. I've got to know a couple of people who've got a lot of money, like over $100 million, right? They've got a lot of money, and it is like taking your family out for dinner to spend $400,000-$500,000 on a horse, you know. So the people want to spend their money at that top end. Good luck to them. You get to spend it on other things like, you know, stacks of other things, buying islands or buying boats or doing whatever they choose to spend on horse racing.
I just don't think we need to just keep smashing up prize money and smashing up punters and making the game so hard and therefore pouring on more product and decimating the quality of what we've got.
Different argument to what DK. I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, but it's slightly different, but yeah. It all sort of
You don't like to glorify from our percent, say, you know, this is how much they're spending, so they deserve to get huge prize money when... Yeah.
That's my argument.
It goes to 1 or 2% of the return of the population. It's not even going to them a lot of the time. It's going to who knows, but it doesn't get distributed evenly.
Mm. And that sort of leads me on to the other point, and Deke has already touched upon it, and the news has come out that they're going to push into Saturday night racing. They're going to do a trial over the December months when everyone's sort of up and about. The good thing is they're going to shift racing from the quieter days and the low turnover meetings, and they're going to push them to Saturday night. So I think that's a tick. But, Yeah, there's definitely an oversupply problem at the moment. Sandown yesterday, the field sizes were completely cactus. Trev Lawson and I, and we're all talking over the Easter break at how many dual acceptors and how many scratchings there were. I think there were 80 on Good Friday alone, and I think the real number would be somewhere between 150 or 200 or even beyond that for the 4 days at Easter. So the push tonight racing is another stretch. And it was an interesting tweet. There's on the thread from racing.com. It's interesting that they're asking people in the social domain because you'd think they'd consult them first. But what are your thoughts about Saturday night racing? Ben Millam, he's quite vocal on Twitter sometimes when he's not afraid to sort of come forward and talk. But this is an interesting one from his perspective.
Pretty measured too, right? At least I like this
Ripper
response.
He said, we've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday night meetings along with the original day meetings, twilight Sunday meeting. Participants will be looking forward to a well-earned rest on race-free Monday where jockeys can indulge in a cool 24 unpaid jump outs at Cranbourne on a Monday morning. And I think there's further Pakenham jump outs on the Tuesday as well. Another jockey replied directly under that. So the burnout factor's big for them. And even someone like Shona Dressler, who's tied up with the Mick Price yard, she's there saying, crikey, this puts more pressure on us as well. And they're a super stable. I'd say Price Kenner, a super stable that can cope with that. But within those 63 respondents to that tweet about Saturday night racing, there's a lot of labour pains from staffing shortages. And when you just sit back and look at it, like, crikey, like, when 4 days of night racing mixed in with the usual grind of up at 4 a.m., it makes you wonder, like, we're already going to the more tax solution, more tax, more product. I just don't think it's great governance. And we hear lots about welfare and looking after people. Well, this is at odds again.
Jockeys are the biggest winners out of this prize money war because they've got no risk, right? And they're automatically getting pay rises. They get pay rises anyway. Plus, every time prize money goes up, they automatically, if they're any good, get pay rises. And if people like Mellum, I'm obviously a little bit privileged that I know a lot of these guys quite well. I've never heard them so angry towards racing. They're just over it, you know, just constantly. Whereas before, you know, most of them, you'd be getting a call once, twice a week, interested in, you know, whether it's Wednesday, Saturday, talking about races, talking about things that happened. You don't get that anymore. They're all just tired. They're all really just over it. It's it can only be this. And I've not, you know, asked them directly. It's not sort of my business, but it just, you know, it's just, there's a shift in the way everyone, even in the industry, their love towards the game seems to be reducing, which is a bad sign, isn't it? Because, you know, their love attracts the love of, you know, you and I from the outside looking in.
Could there be a jockey strike, DK? Do you reckon jockeys might?
They're the ones that aren't going to strike.
Who's going to strike? How do they stop this?
Hang on a minute. I'll start with Mellum, all right? I'll start with Mellum. Love Mellum. Get on well with him. Know him. Know Mellum. Mellum, last month, the month of March, went to the provincials three times for the month. Had nine rides. That was one. Four of them were on Pakenham Cup night, which is hardly a provincial meeting anyway. It's Pakenham Cup. So he went to three provincial meetings in his point. In February, he went to two meetings and had three rides. He never rode from McKinnon. He had a ride in the McKinnon Stakes and had 2 or 3 months off. Don't know whether he was enforced or whatever. Hadn't ride. Okay, and here he is blowing about the workload. Like, he rides Saturdays and Wednesdays and Metro only. You know, you won't see B. Higgins blowing. You won't see Jay Noonan, Jack Hill. You know, these blokes blowing. Okay, the VGA has already come out and said the jockeys overall support it because those blokes are starving. Those middle-tier jockeys need more meetings, or not. They need more opportunities to get more rides, which would be at meetings like that. That's the first one, the jockeys. Second one, it's not extra. These are meetings that have been moved to a Saturday night. So they're not additional meetings. Strappers, every time I get a bill from a trainer, there's strappers fee from every race day. You know, they say the strappers want to go. Do you want to go? I'll give you 100 or 150 or 120, whatever it is, to go to the races. And if not, sometimes the trainers take themselves. And then they're going to turn into a music festival as well. Like, there's four meetings over the summer times that are going to turn into a music festival. Going to big bands, big music acts on, you know, cash in on that holiday time. This is a four meeting test. As we know, everyone's betting still on Saturday night, so they're trying to tap into that. So I just thought, again, the overreaction, the first instinct to blow about anything different, to change anything, the first instinct of most participants is to complain. So, but Mellum, I thought it was a bit rich come from Mellum. I'd like to see B. Higgins and Jack Hill and those boys think about a provincial race meeting on a Saturday night rather than Mellum.
Nico, your thoughts? Your old man's in the game?
Yeah, I knew DK was coming in off the long run there. I could just see him steaming sitting here. look, I think DK's probably right. Like, it's, I think they're going to move from Thursday night to Saturday night. But what I, but looking what I read in the article, that's what it seemed like. So yeah, it's not like they're adding a meeting. And if they are, there's probably, you know, some case for them to maybe blow up if they are, but it doesn't sound like they are. I don't know. It's just, it depends what they are. If there's 5 58s and 3 maidens, well, the big stables aren't really that far impacted. But if it's
local, if local trainers, you bring your horse across the road and you take it home and you're done. And like in the old days when Paddy and that were Boogie's Clark Scoot, that there was commonplace. You'd go to the races, they'd go to the pub, have something quick to eat, and all go and work at the dogs, or the punters would go from the races to the dogs, or the races to Moonee Valley trots. Like, it was a commonplace thing to do the doubleheader on a Saturday night. I remember doing it a couple of times when I was working at the races. They had a couple of Saturday night meetings we had to work to. It was a big day, but it was commonplace. So it's not it's not that far out of a thing. And it's, you know, Toowoomba racing and everyone wants to bet on Ascot. Why not bet on Cranbourne horses, you know?
Would the best thing for the game then just to have a blanket and say no racing Monday and Tuesday, and then just get everyone so hungry for Wednesday through to Sunday? And
they everyone don't have knows enough, that like say in Victoria, they wouldn't have enough staff that are officials to do that. Like, that's probably going to be their issue, I would have thought. Like, how many, like, photo finish guys, all that sort of thing that makes the race day operate. I think the problem is if you stretch them so thin, then mistakes start to happen and you're officials. So I think that's probably where they got to look into more than, they have enough horses, they have enough jockeys, they have enough trainers that will run at the meetings. Do they have enough officials to stretch that far? Say if there's 3 meetings on a Saturday and all that, because that's when the big mistakes will start to happen, I would have thought. And that's probably the thing with me, for someone who used to work in that industry as well, being a cameraman, like, I think that's where they probably should look into as a bit as well, because there's definitely enough participants to run a meeting. It's just whether there's enough of the other side as well.
It's interesting. I guess time will tell, because Queensland are going to start pushing to the Friday, Saturday race model, and then New South Wales are sort of, you know, they're stuck a little bit in the old way of doing things.
What a Gold Coast going to do? Friday, they're going to do something similar, aren't they?
They don't want Friday night. They're happier with Saturday as an option, but not Friday night. And they are happier to look at Saturday night as an option than Friday night. They say they're a Saturday race club.
Yeah, right. Because their attendance and all their sales, and they're already getting the sort of that bucks crew, and they're tapping it out. Because a lot of the problems at the moment is race clubs have become events businesses, and there's not enough cohesion between, I guess, punting, putting on the show, and it's sort of
Twilight makes sense for Gold Coast. Like, it just makes sense. You know, that, like, the same sort of, I think they're looking to come in 2 races before the end of the metro program or something like that. That sort of timing would make sense here, wouldn't it? Like, because you get the warmer climate and they end up here and then end up in surface or whatever afterwards. It just makes sense.
They do say it's a test DK, but you watch, once it's a success, which it sounds like it should be, if they support it with bands and throw money at most things and a bit of marketing dollars, it should work. Just like the ninth race, 9 races, or it used to be 8 races, now it's 9, now it's 10. It's just more, and then more tax. And
so, I wasn't objecting against the Saturday night racing, and we're talking about, it's just an overload across the board. And maybe Mellon, like, I don't know him at all, but he does have a set of balls on him, so maybe he does think he's talking on behalf of everyone. And, you know, potentially it's not against the Saturday night in particular, it's just they keep adding things, I guess, but... I don't know. Saturday night racing, I think it's going to come.
Got to try and keep turnover up somehow, I suppose, Walt, don't they? It's crashing through the floor.
Well, yeah,
so,
they do, but this is not...
poker machine mentality.
That's the problem. And, like, I think New South Wales is averaging, like, 16 meetings a week at the moment, and we don't have ever Monday or Tuesday off. They don't have that. And then they do have the trials, and what we have stretch here, as I don't look at it as close as you guys do to Melbourne, but... our jockey ranks, mate, there's about 5 jockeys in Sydney who you can back, and outside of Sydney there's about 3. So, you know, the jockey ranks are spread so thin. They run 2 country meetings within 200 Ks of each other often. And, you know, you've got 14 jockeys in a race and 12 of them are lucky to, you know, where they really struggle. They're all 5% riders. It's quite crazy. So they're the meetings I got the objection with.
Yeah, I did have an interesting conversation with one of sort of the leading PRA's finance persons last week, and they basically said to me that they are competing, that they see one of their biggest competitors as poker machines, which I found quite interesting. in terms of where the gambling dollars being spent. So
that's a good race.
The first time
this
I
week.
Sort of thought about it.
Well, so there was a race this week. I can't remember what day it is because I'm always poorly prepared. A benchmark 50 class 2 with boosted prize money. So you've got
how do you fit into that?
Class 2 and above. Class 2 and above. So you can't be a maiden class 1 racing at a benchmark 50 and it's got boosted prize money. Like you're actually encouraging horses that maybe should have been moved on or they're at best picnic horses. It's I just don't understand it. I don't understand the logic to making that race be in existence, let alone promoting it.
Mm. The field size at the moment, there's a definite problem with dual acceptors and just the program at the moment. If you speak to anyone that's been in the game for a long time, they're sort of scratching their heads, and I'm sure they'll work their way through it eventually. But at the moment, the back end of the week is just a nightmare. So anyway, that's enough of the industry chat at the moment. Let's have a look at a bit of the future of what's going to happen. So let's doom it on this Saturday. We've got quite disturbing footage of Donnie. I thought he was going to channel his inner mug punter last week, who was a bit of a nude shot go around he's true to his word. He said that he'd do a preview nude if Sydney races went ahead, and there is a nude
slug shot.
Yeah, shot of mug punter circulating on the internet if you can find it. So where are we? He's a man of his word, and he's not scared. Chain of Light was a beauty for you last week, so we had day two of the championships this week at Randwick. Good news is the weather's better. Tough weekend for you, Nico, at Caulfield. A couple of mares didn't quite run up to the mark. DK was close to the mark, that naughty horse, Russian Meteor. The Russian was naughty behind the gates. I think now he's had a bit of a ban, DK, but I thought he went super. We're off to Bendigo Saturday, which the fields look deep and strong there. So it'll be interesting to see if a pattern emerges there, because you can bet up with confidence at that track. Starry Eyes was a bit one-batted. It took a while to sort of get out, but hopefully Celestial definitely saved my bacon, so hopefully some listeners sort of got onto that one. I'm going to be off to Adelaide this week. Adelaide Carnival starts to heat up, and the Top Sports Steamers, they need to lift. Real Asmon was their sole winner last week, so hopefully someone's tuned into that. I think it was a bet of about 500 at 650 on that one. Top Sport is our major sponsor of the show. They've got the protest payout, Top Fluck, and they're Australian owned operators, so make sure you bet local with them. And good news is we've got a betting tournament on the horizon, so we'll announce more details in the coming weeks, but looks like we'll have a bit of a shootout in the Winter Carnival over the May sort of June time of the year. So can't wait for the Brisbane Winter Carnival to kick off. What's that?
What month is it now?
We're in early April. Augusta, Masters.
Okay.
Easter.
I swear to God, I would have put my money
Easter.
It was March.
Easter yearling sales.
Yeah, it was April Fool's Day was last week, wasn't it? So it has to be April. Yeah.
It feels like April Fool's Day has been going for about 11 days.
Yeah. The horse on the platform. There's another thing we should kick up for. He couldn't even afford a train ticket, the poor bugger. Maybe the horses should be getting paid prize money directly.
Yeah, that was a strange one at Warwick Farm Station. It's been all over the news.
That happened before the championships. So someone's gone in her stable.
Opened.
Let out all these horses. They've known about it.
Peter Valandis.
Well, no, but they haven't said anything until after the champ. Like, if you're a punter and you know someone's gone rammed like through her stable, you're probably a little bit worried about what's going to happen to the rest of her horses. But anyway. Mm.
Yeah, I thought Peter Valandis was a marketing exercise to let everyone know that the championships are still on, put racing.
Was Min's the one who released the footage?
Mm.
That's weird too, isn't it?
He must be a big racing man who's also trying to kill Rosie.
It was funny the way he packaged up. But it was incredibly lucky, wasn't it? How was the presence of the horse? How relaxed was it? He was just cruising around.
Big train coming through. Could have been real ugly.
Face on the train under the Warwick Farm sign. Yeah. You couldn't make it up.
Yeah, then go any sort of which way if you've worked with him before. Bendigo, Saturday. Let's straighten the wheels here. Off the track, benchmark 84 handicap, race 6. Gaza Blanca's a favourite here, $4.60. End Assembly is $6. Second pick, Baldino, $7.50. Philosopher, $10. It Is Me, one of our horses, $10. Drawn the Car Park, $18. Yaki, Red Hot Nick, $12. Sparring, $13. Wolflands, $13. Miss Chrissy, $14. Senegalia, $15 and Semillon $18. This looks an absolute ripper. Nico Garza Blanca. We're going up to Walt's neck of the woods, and here he is, outside leader.
Yeah, this was blinkers on first time, settled on speed, just got run down by a horse I think that's better on wet ground than he is. If you look at him here, he's a massive horse, and most of his better form is on the dry track. So he kicks away here, but the other horse just kind of gets the better of him late. He's back to 1,100 metres, but it should be a very fast run race. This, you got Philosopher, who should set up a really fast early tempo up from, you know, 9.5 and 1,000 metre races. And then there's a few others that could possibly go with him, like Real Guns, Semillon, even Red Hot Nick, Mrs. Chrissy. So there could be quite a fast speed. I think from barrier number six, he probably just parks in behind that. He showed good early speed in his last run. So I think he's probably settled around midfield here in a race where they could go quite fast. It could be more run, like a 1,200. So second up, blinkers on for the second time here. And you just look back through his form last campaign. He was really unlucky one day behind Smashing Eagle, where he started short price favourite in Sydney. And then the start after, he went on to beat Pirelli, who had form around Tashi, who runs second to Chain of Lightning, I think. So that form looks good enough for a race like this. He is a horse that they've tried in much better grade. Like, he ended up running in a group three at the end of the carnival, and he's run in some big races before, but I think they've found a really good race for him, and just thought with the way the map sets up, he should just have the last crack and hopefully get over the top on the dry ground.
Light barrier six for him. DK, thoughts?
Tough race. This end assembly sort of interested me here. You probably know it well from up your neck of the woods, Epic's Mark Curry. Burst some booming wins there at Toowoomba, then sort of went into stakes races and sat it's had 10 or 11 months off. Now turns up down here for Moody. Now, I don't know if it's, I mean, we saw it with the I Wish I Win and maybe being too harsh on the trials, or the old Queensland thing, is he trialling him in heavy shoes and things like that to make him look worse than what they are and whatnot. But these horses, like some of them, you couldn't back them out of the trials. It's a thing yesterday, Victory Command. It just went like an absolute walking machine in its trials, and it went better at the races yesterday, but didn't set the world afire. Now, the point is that this thing's trial good. Now, this thing, for Moody's things, it was only just trialing all average and fair. This thing's trialed up the lux. So I think it's a bit of blank canvas about it. First up off the long spell for Moody. Don't mind the wide draw at the shoot at Bendigo. Been watching a lot of shoot races at Bendigo lately. The wide draws are winning their share of races. So, End Assembly is a horse that interests me in this race.
Yeah, I thought it was the definite danger. I do like J-Mott. J-Mott's on fire, I feel. I haven't got his stats on hand, but finally, Walt's often critical of Kieran Maher's jockey selections, but Jamie Mott will be perfect for that one. He's a great man for a job.
End of Assembly, we're talking about. It's very hard to work out Mark Curry horses when they get moved on. They're very hard. But going to Moody, it's definitely not a step backward, is it? So you'd expect it to at least hold its form. I thought Garza Blanca trialled really poorly before that. I was keen to really be around him at that Kembla race. So I just, maybe he can improve, but I'm jury's out on him a little bit for mine.
All right. So you're getting good price both, though, $4.60 and $6. Let's have a look at the next one. It's the Gold Bracelets, the 1,400 metre race, and Belle Rich is the favourite at Top Sport. $4.60 into $4. Lady Jones, $5. Nunthorpe, $6.50. Serlio Miss, $7. Papillion Club, $7.50. Marble Arch, $10. Fire of Etna, $13. Shuffle Dance, $16. Belle Savoir, the same quote. And then you've got Picaroon at $21. And better than the rest. He's not hiding here, Nico. He's having a real crack. Belle Rich is the horse that he likes here, and she comes wide.
Yeah, I think this is a proper race. You had Euphoric in behind her in the red and white. Golden Path had no luck in the blue. They both go to the Golden Mile on Saturday. Rheinberg, I was quite keen on this day. He had a poor recovery. Dashing ran well. And I thought her run down the outside second up was a run that she's, suggests that she's absolutely back. She had a preparation last campaign where she was a bit in the wilderness, but off her best form from the autumn prior. Gee, she was a mare with a lot of upside, and that race rated through the roof. She went back from a wide draw, didn't have the easiest run, but kept coming late, come home in some quick sectionals, and I think that's just going to be a really hot form race. So looking how this race might set up for her, like the inside draw, she's a mare that can take a position in her races, and on this day, Bendigo typically plays towards the rail. usually that's the spot to be, and especially on speed. So I would have thought from barrier one that there's a huge opportunity. She can land in the first four, get a nice soft run, and she could just bring bringing in the best lead up form out of a very strong race last start. Yeah, I was surprised she was around 460 early in the betting. She's into $4 now, and I think that will probably continue to tighten up. There's a few other interesting runners here, like Papillion Club is really good first up. Cirilio Miss Best is definitely good enough, but she does have to carry 60 kilos first up and hasn't drawn well. She'll probably have to potentially be ridden a bit quieter than usual. Marble Arch is racing well, and even Lady Jones was good first up, but I just thought Ballet Rish brings in a very strong form line, fast rating race. I think if you want to back her, I'd be backing her now. Think the market could really have a real look at that race. She comes out of it Flemington, and that could mean she starts a fair bit shorter than $4 with a potential pattern in favour from barrier number one.
Mm, ultra consistent, this runner, always trying, DK.
She was. She just had those two blemishes at Caulfield, wasn't it, Nico? And then she had no luck when she went to Flemington there, drawn low after those Caulfield runs. And then she was heavily backed over the carnival there as well. Just got too far back. So maybe it was something to do with Caulfield or something to do with that, just that what, as a mare, what she, you know, the mood or whatever she was in at the time. But on her best, she looks back in good order this prep. The other, I thought, I've always been a Lady Jones fan. And this prep, she trolled up the Lux. And then she's always been kicked off at 1400. And I thought, well, she must be back in good order because they kicked her off at 1200 there at Caulfield. She ran terrific. So now she's second up, got a good second up record. She's drawn five to stalk the speed. She loves the 1400. So
she was well back first up.
Was
12 into $7.
Yeah, so well, the flux here. Yeah, over 1200 too. So so I'd say she could have been back in for a really good prep, Lady Jones.
To boys again, making big cases for the first turn of the market. Bellade Rich $4, and then Lady Jones $5. It's an interesting card at Bendigo. You got Roland High in the Guineas against War Machine, Sunshine in My Pocket, who's undefeated, Mow Down from the Charlotte Littlefield Yard. Cracking little contest that, and then the Golden Mile, you got Macram, Bell Passer, Golden Path, Euphoric. The race is just super deep, and then you got like Chorten Lane, Extra Two, Bel Air. You got to have a quaddie on Saturday at Bendigo, I would have thought.
Yeah, it looks a ripper meeting, and even the first few races, there's a lot of depth as well. So, it's good to see the trainers supporting this meeting, and why wouldn't you? Bendigo's arguably the best provincial track in Victoria, if not Australia. So I think away from the metros, it's one of the best tracks we have.
It's a big weekend there. They get a big crowd, and I've got mates go up there for their cricket trip. You know, they posse up there and go to the races and have a big weekend up there. It's all the track managers, I think. I was hearing the track managers, they all have their weekend off, all the metro track managers, and get up there for the weekend on the drink as well. And big weekend. Good to see strong fields up there.
Yeah, outstanding. Yours, one of yours that you've been waiting for, Roland High. You awake? You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I just,
hello.
Moody's doing some funny things, especially with that horse. I obviously haven't had a look, but it's a telling at all. So I just don't know what he's doing with it. I don't know if he pulled it out of this meeting up here.
I think that the one, the race it had up here, must have just ripped the guts out of it by the sound.
Must have.
Mm. Given it time to recover. Let's have a look at Sydney. Clear weather this weekend, which is great to hear. Not sure how the track's going to come up, but race two in the South Pacific Classic, 1,400 metres. Market only here. Robricks, $5. Midnight Opal, $7. Butch Cassidy, $7.50. Raisers, $8. Port Lockroy, $8.50. Cadency Abstract, $9. And then you got KZ, $10. Lively, $11. He-Man, $14. Panic, $14. And that's the main chances there. Port Lockroy, you tipped last week, Walt, and you're going to they scratched it, saving it.
Yeah, I blew up there, didn't I? I didn't, because I didn't know at the time. I blew up to you about 15 minutes after I left the show because I found out they were going to scratch it.
It was that good wide run at Canberra Guineas. Wasn't really entitled to be in the finish and only just got nutted by Zdarsky.
Yeah, he dragged it out there too, which was drew wide, whatever, first up. And then, so they scratched it from a mile race last week from a wide draw to wait for 17 gate and 1400 here. But it's 28 days between runs. They're probably a little query is Hippo riding light. I was just chatting to Donnie in between. That was when I zoned out with the Melbourne a little bit because he was talking about, Hippo riding 54 is a little bit of a query. But there's a lot of speed in this race. Definitely enough. And I just kept sort of coming back to him that he's the horse that's a little bit more adaptable. I think he's going to be super strong no matter where he lands. So any sort of luck, fifth, sixth, seventh, three wide cover, this horse is going to run really well. Sting out of the track, certainly no drama. There's just not a lot of horses here that are very well set up or huge upside, like Robrick's a little bit tricky from its draw. You can sort of make half cases for a few, He-Man, Butch Cassidy, maybe. There weren't too many that I really wanted to find, whereas I think this horse is the one horse that, you know, you're probably going to get $10 about now that could overcome a tricky run and still be super strong. I think it's a pretty good horse, to be fair. I don't know what she's trying to do with it, but I'm just more than happy to back this horse at $10 and be wrong if I am wrong, because I just think it stands out to me as a horse with a bit more upside than most of these.
I'm happy to blindly follow you in here. Just at the weights, a couple of these horses look out of play. And I can just get confused the more I try and do the race. So Port Lockroy for me.
There's too
in a
many
race,
similar
just,
horses, aren't there?
Like, yeah, like, I just don't get a
horn
for
Butch Cassidy, Robrick, He-Man, Panic. They're all going to run okay. Kandinsky Abstract, but yeah, he just sort of just, you know, I don't know what it is. Just sort of he'll get the extra highlighter stroke. Is that what it is? That's all it is. That's all it takes.
Anything from the Melbourne boys here? Any runners pick your interest?
Nah, looked a really deep race with a fair few chances. So, I haven't got around to it yet, but Robrick can probably improve off what he did last start, drawing wide and should be getting in the middle of the track. 1,400 will suit him, but he was a little bit disappointing.
He was a forgive, though, wasn't he? Like, he's Hammond. Definitely a scary horse. That and if he got the back of Port Locker or something, I wouldn't be really happy with myself in the run, but he might get to a silly price too from that awkward draw.
Mm. Race 5 is the next one I'm going to have a look at. The Arrowfield Sprint. Osmosis a favourite here, 350 into 310. Schwartz, 550. Jolly Star, 850. Learning to Fly, 850. Arkansas Kid, $10. Hedged, $13. Corniche, $18. Red Resistance, $19. Ray Koki, $19. Mumbai Muse, similar quote, and better the rest. We just have a look at the trial of Osmosis here. Just got complete stranglehold here, and obviously missed the start first up, rattled off some good sectionals, complete forgive in the Galaxy, despite being a sort of a $10 shot in that big group one.
Yeah, so just wanted to see it jump right and do everything right, which it did. I don't like asking trainers too much about where the horse is going, but Bjorn will be pissing himself that the one horse I've spoken to him about is, mate, is this going to the Arrowfield? Because it looks unbeatable when it was like $14. It will not be going to the Arrowfield, but that was obviously before it had that mishap and sort of the TJ was derailed. But this race, is that the only replay?
No, we're going to have a look at Learning to Fly in the surround stakes too. So Tropical Score's the eventual winner of this race, but in the Navy here, Learning to Fly.
So ridden a bit closer, I think this was the 1,400. So I went 1,200 first up off that long break and got that miracle inside run. And this day, maybe just a little flat, still, you know, a good performance. And she's super honest. But for whatever reason, Annabelle's decided to freshen her up and target this race. I think she's like 42 days since this run. So 12, 14, back to 12 off a 42-day break. I actually don't mind that setup at all. I think that's pretty solid, and that was a little sit sprint race, that race, so it certainly shouldn't have hurt her too much.
That's
talk about the race now.
Yeah,
I just, this race, like anyone who listens to me, they know that I'd rather that Schumacher wasn't riding Osmosis, that's for sure, but it does look pretty hard to mess up. It's from its perspective, like you've got Red Resistance drawn wide, the Instructor drawn wide, the Novelist is one of the fastest horses you'll find. Raya Koki's very, very fast. So they're going to fly here. And she, you know, all things equal, I hate barrier blankets with a passion, but they've put one on. I don't think the horse really even needs it. I don't really know what happened there last up, but just, you know, hoping that was an anomaly completely. And this horse should just land fifth, sixth. And I think that's how this horse will race best. It's never really had the opportunity to do that. Obviously, last time it got ridden with a sit, didn't it? 25 lengths off them. But this time, hopefully, it's sort of sitting fifth, sixth, seventh, something like that, and should be extraordinarily hard to beat. Learning to Fly just is, if they completely overdo it, and pattern depending here, if the inside's a little bit smelly and they're ripping down the middle, Learning to Fly looks an absolute nightmare to hold out, because they are going to fly here. And if the inside's the place to be, I think it's sort of Osmosis. And I actually really like even though it had perfect run on the back of Estrella, I like the way that Arkansas Kid profiles. I think it'll get the back of Osmosis or very close to it. And with the mile form that he's got, I thought he was the obvious. If they're sort of back towards the insides, the place to be, those two are clearly the two. And if you can run on down the middle, Learning to Fly is going to be rocketing.
I'd be Nico launching Osmosis and then saving Arkansas Kid. I think they're the two best ways to play it and keeping it very simple. Thoughts, Melbourne boys?
Learning to fly. I think she sets up perfect. There's good speed in the race, like Walt said, and she'll be just be getting down the middle. And if it's a day to be running on like it was last week, well, she's going to be hard to hold out, I would have thought. Just think 1,400 was a bridge too far. Last start just didn't have the same acceleration. The first up run was huge. So, yeah, I'll be having a crack there. I'm not sold on Osmosis. I'm just not sold on that Coolmore form. It just doesn't seem to be standing up. Like, I'm unstoppable. Who's in third? Shinzo. Cylinder had a real off day. It just feels a bit yuck for mine. So I'm a bit against him at $3.
Does have the Celestia Legend form there.
He was having a ball when he ran him, though. He was just poking around for the autumn. By the looks of it, in the spring, he wasn't the horse he was then now, you know.
I wish it had a jockey. It's just, I hedged back towards your way a little bit more, like as in unloading, learning to fly. If it's down the middle, maybe chop out on Osmosis and poke around on Arkansas, just because she could easily give it a dig in the ribs early and that could be game over for it. And then they could rock and roll down the middle. If it had a J-Mac or someone similar, or Blake Shin, oh, I'd just this race in particular, I'd be so horned up to watch it. Just what it could do, coiled up fifth, sixth with a good jockey on it. But so hopefully she has an out of body experience.
1, 2, and 12 box exacta, Osmosis, Arkansas Kid, and Learning to Fly, and move on to the next race, which is race 8. The Queen Elizabeth is the one we're going to have a look at here. Via Sistine has got a stranglehold on the market here, $2.20. Prodigeny, $3.70. Cascadian, $8. Mr. Brightside, $9.50. Plus the Carousel, $10. Cheryl Wolf, $17. Buckaroo, $18. Lindemann, $21. Kovalika, $21. Zayrek rounding it out at $91. Via Sistina had a bit of a track gallop here in the Randwick Stakes and last and widest in the white cap and just sort of trots up and just then puts a gap on a real barrier trial.
It's really worth watching both of these horses down the outside because they were both first up 2,000 here and this was like they went 26 below or something to the 600. So it was a literal joke. Obviously, Think It Over maybe wasn't his best. He's come out and retired after this. Buckaroo ran okay up the inside. The other two were stayed. So you would say sort of bunchy finish, it's not that exciting, but it's the tempo there that's really the most important part, whereas this horse here, Pride of Jenny, she averages about 13 above to the 600 every time she races. So that's the difference between what we saw in the first replay and what we're going to see on Saturday is something more like what we're seeing here in the Australian Cup.
So from a setup point of view, both DK and yourself, which who's sets up best to take out this race?
Who wants to go first? Well, I'll go first. DK trailing it. So I honestly think that was an absolutely perfect pipe opener for a horse like Via Sistina. It was really important. She drew a gate, so she's not going to be that extra 3 or 4 horses back. I still think she'll be sort of midfield at best, but I think she's going to run extremely well. And the interesting part is that she raced first up 2,000 there, and basically all her forms between 1,800 and maybe 2,100 she's won at, but basically 2,000 metres. So she doesn't really have that profiler of a mile and a half horse here, whereas Place to Carousel does. So I honestly think they're the two horses, and Via Sistina obviously is the starting point from my opinion, and I'm really wary of the other. I can't understand why it's $13 as opposed to sort of $2.30, because I think they should be naturally a lot closer in betting. And, you know, I've become a huge fan of this Pride of Jenny, but I think she sets it up for the two international mares.
Cascadian?
Yeah, you know, I'm just taking the line that they're better horses than Cascadian. Like that's what the way I've sort of looked at it and made the final decision is that Cascadian got over the top of Pride of Jenny, and I just don't think he's a great horse, but I just don't think he's the benchmark. And if he is, then I think these two internationals are just better than him.
DK, what do you like? Do you like that soft little pipe opener, or do you like the horses that have run in a more genuine race?
I always like a softer pipe opener because I think it's more fresh legs and spring. But the thing with Pride of Jenny is it does those horses, will they think what a bit, what I found out with the tissue with Chris Waller, because he said the way Pride of Jenny runs her races, it doesn't suit a tissue, right? Mm. It doesn't suit it. So will those horses be suited by the way where they sit in the run, and the way Pride of Jenny runs those sectionals, as Walt said, 13 above, will they be suited? Now, it suited Cascadian perfectly. Back, suck. You knew he was going to be strong late. 2000, he won that race last year. A tissue was too close. Mr. Brightside was too close. He way out of his comfort zone chasing Brighter Jenny in that scenario. So he's going to have to go back, do a few different things. So will those, as Walt said, he thinks they will. The international mares have proven over more ground. Will they be suited to the way Brighter Jenny runs those races?
That's a great angle. Love that. The horse that I think is big odds, stepping up from the Doncaster Mile, is Cove Leaker. It's really surprising that this horse hasn't been out to 2,000 metres for quite some time.
It's really surprising it's not running around at Goulburn today. Have you been watching how bad it's going?
Yeah, I know. But maybe it's
the greatest training performance I've ever seen in my life. It's more gone than me, and I'm pretty gone. Have a look at me. I've been sick for 3 weeks. I've been gone for 15 years. It's gone.
And Chia Wolf, I'm not convinced that 2,400 back to 2,000 metres.
Those two should be in a match race maybe 15 minutes after this race runs. That would be a better race where you put a couple of hurdles there, a couple of donkeys running down the outside fence, and they should be like that form can't be the right form for this.
Nico, any angles for Walt to shoot you down just like I've just been put on the cross?
No, I got nothing. Looks hard, like Via Sestina. Like, was that a race first up? No. Could be a proper horse? Yes. Like, Pride of Jenny, she's going to have to come and get her. 2,000, I can see Walt's angle. If it's a better horse than Cascadian coming to get her, well, there might be one here that is that. So I think I just stick fact with Mr. Brightside. He obviously just had an off day the other day and he'll go back, he'll hit the line. That'd probably be the horse I'd back in the race, but with absolutely no confidence. Looks a nightmare race.
Mm.
Oh. 13, 14 bucks, this place to carousel has to be the wrong price, I think.
Mm, I'd be betting around. I'd be taking Cascadian, Place the Carousel, and the herd like Cove Leaker. And that $2.20 just looks like
fool's gold. You know how they bet margins? You know, like if you win by, if you got like, can you back minus 8.5 or something? Like, can you get an 8.5 link boost on Cove Leaker? I'll still give you $6.
Yeah, that'd be all right. You might just
take that back. Edit that out, would you, Borko? Edit that out.
Head start. So we bleach your hair if Cove Leaker wins.
Mate, I won't do the mug thing because I don't have a Zoom big enough to find my old fella. Mate. But, if it wins, I'm happy to do whatever you like. Jesus Christ. Racing's finished if that horse wins the QE2.
Group 1 DK, did you have a tip here or no?
No, I don't have a tip. I'll be a good watch race for me, Scoot. Cheering home the Victorians, of course, but no, watch race. Enjoy the spectacle.
Interesting to see how Mr. Brightside bounces back. It's a
wouldn't you love it to just Craig Williams to come out and say, listen, they've given me tactics, but I'm not listening to them. I'm doing my own thing here. It's to explode down the middle and win. I'd actually cheer that home as big as anything because
Stranger
you could see he was
happened.
A victim last start. It was a joke. He just kept pushing it into a spot he didn't want to be. And the poor horse was just, as DK said, completely out of his comfort zone throughout. He could improve significantly. It's a massive possibility. And it is probably the most interesting race on the card there. I think it should be a great race.
Mm. Just
and you get 10-1 to find out. 10-1 or something. Yeah.
If you don't like the favourite, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, take it on. So we're be very wary, Via Sestina, if you're tuning into the short odds there. So it's going to be a mouthwatering clash. Racingwatch.com.au is where you can find Walt in his Telegram or Discord channel, and he also is doing the kick streams. Are you doing a stream this Saturday?
Mate, never stop. Streaming. Might want to go on Friday night to talk crap. We just never stop. I just like hearing the sound of my own voice. I enjoy it. It's great.
Beautiful. Different kettle of fish and different cat old Walt, but he'll be there Saturday, so make sure you check it out. All right. Last week, no good Starry Eyed. So I've gone 3 straight, and then I've gone 2 into the bin. So I'm going to shake it up a bit and put a bit of a spotlight on Morphettville for my best of the week or my black booker. Morphettville race 7 is the race I'm going to have a look at here. I thought Molly Knickers might be a false favourite, so I thought I'd try and find the right bet here. $3.10, not sure she's looking for 1,800 metres. Vivier's $4.40, Quickster $5, Wings of Song $9.50, Coco Sun $9.50, The Autumn Bell $16, Just a Boom $26, and you can get much better the rest. The horse I like here is Vivier. I thought this is a a horse that's looking like it wants a bigger track and it wants 1,800 metres. She was a great run first up, Vivier, and was something beat at Flemington, which was a big track. And then she was sort of slow out and they just plucked her out the back. And there's Molly Knickers not sort of going anywhere, and Vivier's just going straight past her. And if they add another 200 metres, she puts a massive margin on that horse. Not sure why. Molly Knickers has come up 3.10. I thought Vivier should be installed the favourite here. Gets a nice draw here. Vivier's drawn 4. Molly Knickers has drawn 12. So that's further pressure on the Moody Runner. And it's a bit of a theme of the show. The Moody Runners, or the Moody Stable, just going. The other horse that is a Moody Runner that is going well and won a listed race last start over 1,600 is Quickster. Concede she's a good chance in the race at sort of $5, but I thought Vivier should sort of be the $3 favourite here. And there's another one that Nico will know about, Wings of Song. She's in the race too at $9.50. She's got that picket fence and coming off a bit of a freshen from the Tassie Oaks. She'd be in danger but drops back in distance. And then the other horse that I thought was a bigger danger is from the McAvoy Yard, who just had a nice little squirt out over 1,400 at Sandown against Patchouli Dream and Indian Jewel and Vividness in the benchmark 64, and that was Coco Sun. But again, she has to start from barrier 11 and she could have a work cut out. So third up, Vivier, $4.40. I can see this horse starting with a 3 in front of it, and it was one of my black bookers. So that's the horse that I definitely want to be with, and I think the key is going to be this big Adelaide track. She's just crying out for a big roomy track. She's a big horse, and she got a dynamite finish. So she's my bet of the week this week. Nico, there's a couple of horses that you know quite intimately here. Thoughts?
Yeah, like it looks gone off last start Molly Knickers. You couldn't back her with stolen money, I wouldn't have thought. I was like biggest fan in the spring, and I just don't know if she's come up this autumn, like off that last run. Like a horse in the spring, I was wanted to back her in anything, look out of the yard. And on last, like three weeks ago, I was like around her big. She just, like I said, just doesn't look like she's come up. So yeah, you could be around her. Quickstar was a good win last start, but she did show herself a little bit up first up in that maiden at Sound. I don't know what you thought, DK,
yeah,
but
I agree.
I thought that was a bit of a bit of an icky run.
Yeah, and look, Vivier's a line finder, as Scoot said, always has, you know, from the day I think when it won its maiden at Geelong or wherever it was, and was vulnerable the other day. The market said it was vulnerable, and it was vulnerable. The market knew, went back to last around Moonee Valley, so basically had none. Ran well, gets onto the bigger track third up. It's a good platform, so I can agree with your angle there, Scooty.
I've always been a big fan of Coco Sun.
Yeah, talented horse, isn't it?
She'll be really suited in the 2,000 meter race, the Group One, which all these fillies will go to. But Saturday might not be her day. But she's got a race in her.
Mm, and that's what I thought with that wide gate. The McAvoys might just back off her a bit, give her a run. They tend to do that with a lot of their horses. They can sort of be a bit of a yo-yo stable, and they might be trying to peak her for a later day. But this just seems perfect distance, perfect setup, as DK says, platform and line finder. So chips in Vivier, and fingers crossed we get the result there. Punningform.com.au is how I do all of my form. So match your tape watching skills with the data, and you can bet anywhere that you choose to bet. So they bet Australia, they bet Hong Kong. So it's a must-have. Last week, Donnie threw out extra gear. The boys were keen on that lambing runner. I thought it went pretty well. Knocked up late and fell into third. But this week, he's got his shirt off. He's ready to go, Donnie, for Doomben.
G'day, lads. Sydney Cup weekend. Cannot wait to get down there. One best bet comes up in Brisbane, race 6, Extravagant Star. Comes out of the same race that Chain of Lightning won last start. Good form lines, good gate, good map. I think it should be winning. The other one is User Pin in race 1 at Doomben. Good luck.
He's on the detail on that User Pin, I thought.
He's on the daddy daycare duties there. He
breastfeeding.
It's like he's had a bit of an edible there. He's looks a bit half whacked there, Don. Don't want to get the child services crikey.
I was going to say that's pretty much the angle I'd be taking. I wouldn't be sharing that with too many people. That video.
He might have one of those male, you know, those male. you know, those fake pump
yeah, yeah, yeah,
where they put the milk on the fake teat. He might be breastfeeding off one of those. Scrikey. When he sent that through, I nearly fell off my chair. So I'm happy I've shared that with someone else because needs to be seen to believe that stuff. But race six, on a more serious note, number seven, Extravagant Star. So well placed there, according to Don. Got some strong form on. So $2.60, it'll be chips in. So his horses get very heavily backed when he likes or declares one of his best. So all eyes on that one. Top Sports Team, Regal Asmon, last week was 500 at 650. So good result there. And a lot of peppering around for the Ramwick card and a couple of races we haven't previewed. So get more of your insights here. Well, this is Looks of Beauty. Race 4, number 1, Lady Camelot, 1,000 at $2.90. If it's got four legs and it's breathing, looks hard to beat.
Yeah, the draw certainly opened it up, and it's just a really strange, and I actually thought that I'd never seen a slipper winner running a Percy Sykes, but apparently Kiyomichi did, but it was 250 out to 550 and ran last. Ooh. And the stablemate was $14 to $5 and got beat a nostril. That was it, flip. So, and I think Timmy won the race. He was the one who told me, he's like, you're an idiot. Kiyomichi ran in it. I was like, oh, fair enough. But regardless, yeah, certainly adds an angle. It's probably like, yeah, Aniza went huge in the slipper drifting's a horse on the up. I thought More Territories was, I've just seen it's 26 into 13. I was going to say $26 was a ridiculous price. Its debut was huge. And there's a horse in here that's 150s that I think is a really good horse called Diddle Dumpling. It's got Reggie on it from gate one, but it's probably the best 150 to one chance I've seen for a while, as in a quality of horse. In it's a really good race this race, but betting wise, I don't know what you'll do.
Mm.
I don't know what you'll do.
Well, as Walt says, it'll tell the story. If she stays firm in the market, she's probably going to take some holding out. She's a class act, but how much horse has left after a lengthy campaign? The next bet here is in race 7, and this horse has got the Mark Twain form. So race 7, number 15, mostly cloudy, $523, a good bet. Now into 19, got Rachel Schumacher on. And, as I said, third in the Roy Higgins, beaten 0.7 to Mark Twain to Strawberry Rock. So got 51.5 kilos here, so nice little weight drop. And crikey, where do you start with this race?
I've got NFI here, but all I know is a circle of fire. I was hoping it'd show up in a 2,000-metre race last start and a benchmark 70. It came out and won that race quite well the other day, but it beat a couple of horses that were sort of second up, a very ordinary race. It now shows up favourite, from gate 15 with some fella, Andrea, obviously a good jockey that I've never heard of, having, I'm assuming, Anzetti, his first ride to Australia. It's one of the weirdest priced horses I've ever seen in my life, surely. Circle of Fire, but yeah, good race to go looking. But I think you'll find more Freddy Krueger than you'll find, sunshines and rainbows. It looks like a pretty scary race. It's definitely not my cup of tea.
Is this race anyone's cup of tea, Nico? Could be your cup of tea.
Oh, I think if Mark Twain was here, it'd be an absolute moral. So I think that lead up form could be quite strong. That's, none of them are coming out of proper races. Like the Tancred was a sit and sprint. Even that race mostly Circle of Fire was in, which wasn't a fast run race, that could be the best lead up, the Roy Higgins.
And that was 24, wasn't it? And it was going I think it was second up 2,000, third up 24. So it's come off two slowish run. Well, we've got a barrier trial behind Weimark and it's got to run 3,200. It'd want to be a bloody natural stayer. Jeepers creepers.
Mm. Next bet here is Ramwick Race 9, number 14, $608, Tropical Squall. Was good in Coolmore, that was a race.
It was okay, and I'm pretty sure that Timmy had the choice between this and Osmose, and it surprised me he went Osmose's way, and I'm not saying that that's a big detraction from Tropical Squall, but Osmose is 25-1, maybe it's a better pointer to have something on it. But, I think it's a very open race. I was surprised that they scratched the Gotcha from what looked an absolutely perfect Doncaster until I saw this, and it's just, you know, perfect weight for age, mile, Zoo Gotcha, gate one, good old J-Mac, the Marble King. Looks like it's going to be very hard to beat. I was a big Tropical Score fan last prep, and I can't love her anymore. I think if I'm betting in this race, she's beating me. Funniest thing was Ruthless Dame being third favourite, but I see it's out to 20-1 now. That makes more sense to me. I think Waller's got a big hold on this race.
Mm.
A tissue and Zoo Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm a bit grayed up. Nico?
I'm a big fan. I'm on Tropical Score. I think she's set to peak third up. Should be suited rising in distance. And if she rolls at a genuine tempo, few of those horses like a tissue. Zugotcha looks set to peak, but she'll need a lot of luck from an inside draw. I think this is her right distance range, the mile. So I think she'll give it a huge shake.
Mm.
The other horse that's a silly price there is Renaissance Woman. Just doesn't run 2,000. And if that 2,000 didn't knock her around, back to a mile, JP, 50-1, so just a silly price in this race. Yeah.
$10 the place is absolute insanity for that runner. I could definitely entertain that if you're going roughy hunting for sure. And the last one here is race 2, number 9 over in Adelaide, and it's Trembles. It's a first starter for the Anthony and Sam Friedman yard.
Trembles, mate, you're thinking about going to Morfettville race 2, so you're the one that trembles in a different way.
I love it. I get a bit like Donnie. I take my shirt off and I'm ready for action. Two-year-old filly, don't know much about this one. I do see it's out of the mare Earthquake by Too Darn Hot, $2.60. Anyone know anything about this horse?
No, I haven't seen anything from her. I had seen Cosmic Ride. It looks just a horse off its jump outs, I would have thought. And then you got Harper Lee and Dancing Storm, who we backed last start at Mooney Valley, who was just a run. So, yeah, if she's probably jumped out very well looking at the market play early. So, maybe where there's smoke, there's fire there.
No, if they're tipping it, they're taken there for a reason. And so they're taking 5-2 and it's into 250 and it runs evens. From this camp, it'll be very hard to beat. What about that Arcana, that Arcvana or whatever, first up at Echuca the other day? Did you see it, Nico?
No.
It was like grey horse.
Down the outside?
1,400, 1,600, 1,700 metre horse. First up at 1,200, outside draw, 350 into odds on. Guess what happened?
Freebie, he rode it like up. It was a $1.01 chance, didn't he? Like he was never panicking at any stage.
I said, oh, it's going to be last. It's first up. And then just watching the money just pour in for it. This will just win. I know. I've seen it for this camp before. It'll just win. Mm. And it just rounded them up. Ran $1.70 or something on the totes, $1.80.
I was waiting for him to get busy. I don't know why I was watching it. I'm like, look at this guy. Like, what's he doing on this thing? And he just sort of sorted his way down the middle like he knew he was on Winks. It was quite funny to watch.
Yeah, outstanding. There you go. Little Winks reference.
Good little camp. Winks.
G'day, Deb. Very good camp.
Sure, I did see Deb's on Twitter too, Debbie Capitas. Well, I might have to get her on the show one
day. Probably owns it. Good luck to her.
We'll get Matt Welsh and then we'll get Debbie on.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Eventually.
I think that's us for the Top Sports Steamers. DK, last week, stylish. B. Sheen is your man. He wants him on Loaded Fly. He wants him on everything.
We're due for a good watch. And as I said, the week before at Kerrang, it was all over after two strides. The wrong way. This was nearly all over after two strides. And B. Sheen just flew the gates, put it outside the leader, had a nice time of it and just sailed away. So we were due for a nice watch and got one there. God bless him, B. Sheen. So, he's a gun rider. Went up to Sydney and rode winners. But having said that, I went, again, obviously gravitated towards him tonight at Pakenham. There's some Bishin tax involved tonight. He's on about four odds on chances. Everything's just really short tonight, so I'd have to go too short there. So limited options for me, Scoot. So we'll just have a little two bet play at race 2 at Geelong tomorrow. It is a distance maiden, so bet accordingly. There are no stars, but 4 and 5. Race 2, number 4, Baltic Way. Mitch Friedman, Johnny Allen, set to elevate up in trip on the bigger track. He got home good first up at Bendigo and then wasn't suited at Yarra Glen, so ready to go. But it's just drawn barrier 1. And I think Mick Price's Cara Corans had basically 3 clean-up runs. Just was out the – was just nice on the debut over a mile. Don't know what Froggy was doing at going wide on the turn at Stony Creek, gave it none. And then went back to last and got home nicely. Both of them line up through a horse called Dandruff. Their form sort of intertwines. Dandruff bolted in the 2,400 maiden at whatever it was at Swan Hill on Monday. So I think these two look set to elevate on the nice Geelong circuit. They're over 2,200 on Friday. So I don't know, one might be $8 and $4 or $5 or something might be enough in it to back them both, hopefully. So Cara Coran and Baltic Way.
Outstanding. Geelong Friday, race 2.
I got tipped a horse of B. Shins. Was it yesterday? Sits outside the leader in about a 2,000-metre race. I reckon Shin lifted it 6 times down the straight. He found a sort of neck 6 times and then got bobbed. It was one of the sickest things ever.
He's riding as well. Was it Am Factor?
On the inside, yeah, that was it. Am Factor, oh, my God. He was. You could see every time he just tried something different, changed whip hands, changed this. He just kept fighting and fighting. He's riding as well as anyone. There is absolutely no doubt.
Good. Outstanding. All right, we've got no weather to worry about this week, and it'll be smooth sailing into Randwick. Bendigo standalone meeting looks an absolute corker, and hopefully DK gets us off to a winning way in Geelong. Reminder, Adelaide Carnival's kicking off, and then we've got the Queensland Winter Carnival starting in a couple of weeks' time. So pumped up, great time of year to be betting, and make sure you do it with patience and hopefully you have a fill-up this weekend, and we found you a couple. So good luck, happy punting, and make sure you check out Top Sport and Punting Form. They'll help you as well. We'll see you next week.